trust the potter's hand, everything that goes on in our life. It's not easy. It doesn't feel good sometimes. We may not like it, but God knows what's best. Turn with me, if you would, please, to our opening verse in Acts chapter 17. We got a few that I'm going to randomly call up here, but the message today is our giving Father. I know it's Father's Day, and I want to talk about how our God has given us so much. And I broke it down as a giving Father, a giving Son, a giving Spirit. And today we're talking about a giving Father because it's Father's Day. I thought it'd be appropriate to brag on the Father for a little while. And I'm so grateful that I have a Father I can brag on. I know in our life we have different homes. People come from different homes. They may not have had a father at home. They might have had parents at home. Maybe they're raised by their grandmother. I don't know. Everything's different today than it used to be. But still, we all have a father. A father is a giver of life. And we are all born. So we do have a father somewhere, somehow. But maybe you didn't know your father. Maybe you knew him very well. It's hard to say. But one thing I know is in my life, I like bragging on my dad. He's passed away already, but I have a lot of memories of my dad and all the things that he taught me and brought me through as a dad. And we can compare that to our giving Father and how much he gives to us. I could not spend enough time telling you how much the Father has given me and you. And you can count your blessings and you'd be surprised on how many things that God has actually provided for us and given to us. But we're only going to bring a few things out today just for time's sake and let you know that we are glad that we know the Father. I'm glad I know my Father in heaven. I know there's people that don't know the Father. They maybe are in religion and they may try to believe and know God, but they don't have a personal relationship with God. They never really asked God to forgive them, so they've never been born into the family. There's two ways you can look at that. I was lost away from God, did not have a way back to God except through the Son, Jesus Christ. And when I trusted God as my Savior, I became adopted into the family of God. But not only was I adopted into his family, I had the blood of Christ upon me. So I'm actually in the bloodline now of God. So I'm both adopted into God's family, but I'm also in the bloodline of God's family. And I have a living Father today. Even though my physical father may be gone, I have a living Father today who's in heaven. And I just want to talk about him just for a few minutes. Number one, in Acts chapter 17, here we see in verse 24, 28, it mentions some verses about God. It says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needeth anything, seeth he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Now here, we mentioned this last week or so. Paul was talking about those that he met in Greece and Athens and had all these gods and everything they served. And he was testifying about the unknown God that they didn't know. But these verses tell us about our Father and how he's the creator of all things, all breath, all life, everything. God created it all. It all came from God. It didn't come from anybody else but God. God controls it all. God made it all. God is the giver of life. We know that God is the giving God because he gave life to us physically. He gave the breath of life into man in Genesis when he created Adam. It says he breathed into the nostrils of Adam a living soul. From that point forward, every person that was going to be born of Adam had a living soul within them. There's two reasons why we don't see that when he created Eve, he didn't create another being and create another breath of life in there. He created Eve from the rib of Adam because it had to be from the same bloodline, from the same one soul. There wasn't going to be two of them roaming around here that God gave. He gave one soul to Adam, and every birth after that was going to have a living soul within them. That's why it's so important to know where that soul is going to spend all eternity, because it's God. It's not going to die. It's going to spend eternity somewhere. And God wants it to be with him. So he gave life physically to Adam and to everyone born after that, and to us as well. Just like that song said, he's molding us, he's shaping us. Sometimes physically we don't like our shape. Round is a shape. I'm just telling you, round is a shape. I found it in geometry. And so you're okay with that. It's still a shape. May not be the shape you want, but it's a shape. So be happy with the shape you have, because God made you that way physically. But he gave you life, but he gave you life spiritually through the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. He is a giving father, and he gave his own son that we could have everlasting life. We could never really understand that, because we would probably never die for somebody on their behalf. Though maybe there's been some wars and people have died on behalf of others that they're fighting with and for, and they protected them, and they may have gave their life for them on the battlefield. But no one gave their life like Jesus Christ. No one gave their life for all mankind that they could be spared hell and have a home in heaven. God is a giver of life. He gives everything. He makes us. He gives us our habitation. He gives everything. We live and move and have our being because of our Father who gave us life. But not only did God give us life, he gave us provision. In Matthew 6:31, it reminds us, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink, or withal shall ye be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sometimes we forget that whole verse. It's a very short verse, but we forget that God provides everything in our life. As a child of God, we're never going to be found begging bread. We're never going to be found being without. God will always provide everything for his children. I know my own physical dad, he tried to provide for his children. He had four dumb sisters and girls before me, and had a brother that, a son that didn't work out. Then he had me. Then everything changed. His life was perfect from that point forward. My sister's living on its own line, but I'll just tell you, she's the exception. All right. The rest of them were he wasn't happy with. That's why he kept having more kids. That's why he had to have six, and he finally got one he liked, and he stopped. And so... my dad always provided for his family. He was not one of those dads. I know there's dads out there. My dad wasn't like that. My dad provided for his family. If we had a need, he provided for it. I tell you these stories over and over. You won't believe me, but I'm not sure if I don't think it was my dad trying to kill me. I think he was trying to kill my brother. The rest of my sisters were trying to get me killed. But anyway, they gave us, like when I was young, I forgot how old I was. Probably, I was about six or seven years old. He gave us a motorcycle for our birthday. I said, praise the Lord. What parent gives their child a motorcycle and just cuts us loose, and we're jumping cars and everything, all that, everything. And then he gives me a BB gun later in life. And I never heard the term, you'll shoot your eye out. They just gave it to me and let me shoot whatever I wanted. He gave me what I liked, but then there's times that he didn't give me what I liked. and it wasn't a whole lot I could do about that. But he did provide for his family. My dad worked at a plant, what back then it was called Texaco. And it was a petroleum plant, and he was a welder. He was a welder for like 40-something years, and then he moved into fabricating. He did that for 10 or so years. He retired after 50 years being out there. And all that time, he would work, and he would provide. He wanted all his kids to go to college and all his kids to have whatever they needed. And, of course, my older sisters, they just took advantage of the situation, and they went to college, and they graduated, spent all his money. And then he's having to work overtime. And I noticed, you know, when I was younger, I was wondering, why do you have to work overtime? Dad, you know, you're there all day, and now he's going to work a double shift. That means he has another shift right after that. So he'd be there all day, all night. I wouldn't see him till the next day when he came home. And then I realized later in life when I started having kids why he was doing that. He was trying to get rid of, he was trying to get away from his daughters. They're driving them crazy. So why do I want to be at home with four females and my wife when I could be at work? I'm just kidding. No, oh, she took my gift back. Not my family. I'm talking about my dad, not me. But he would provide. And God will provide everything that we need. We never did without. There's things that we wanted to have, of course, but my dad knew better. And there's things that I would like to have, but my father knows better. He knows what we need, but he's always going to provide for us. My dad would, he gave his life and for us and provision and other things he did for us. But, you know, one thing our father does also, he gives us protection. And Psalm 91, 1 through 7 says, "He that dwelleth in a secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall thy shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." I find that a promise of God, that God says He is going to protect us. And many times we see in our life, well, something bad happened. Well, God wasn't protecting me. No, He's protecting you. Something worse could have happened. He keeps me from a lot of things that could have happened in my life that didn't. And I'm glad that it says here, it doesn't matter what's going to happen, whether it's a terror by night or arrows in a day or pestilence or things that you hear about things that are going on that are killing everybody. We went through that, I think, just recently. Don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. God is protecting you. If you're going to get sick, you're going to get sick. If you're going to die, you're going to die. It's God's timing. But God is going to protect you from all those things. I tell you the story before. There's a lot of them. I just like this one all the time. The one I always repeat. But me and my family went down to the beach. It's really just me and my brother, my mom and dad. The girls were, they're older, so they're married and gone out of house and everything. So we went down to Galveston, and we brought our little motorcycle. We had that thing forever. It was a little 50, and we had it all our life until I wrecked it. But anyway, it was I had it for a while. Until I became a teenager, I messed it all up. But I had it for a while, and we were still young. Probably my thing, I was probably about 10 or 11, 12, and my brother was there. He's a couple older than me. And then we were out. He was riding with me, and I was going down, we got kind of stuck in a sand dune there. And he was getting it out, and had this young, this drunk guy come up, and he started telling us that he wanted our bike. He wanted to take our bike. And so my brother said, "Well, go back and, you know, tell Dad, and I'll handle it." And so my brother was talking to him and keeping him from taking a bike, and I ran back and told my dad. And my dad, of course, you know, if you didn't know my dad, he was here a long time ago when he was alive, but you met him a few times, some of you. But he was a Marine. And he always told me, "I am a Marine. Was a Marine. I am a Marine." I said, "Whatever, Dad. Just whatever. I understand." And then he was also a boxer. He was a Golden Gloves champion when he was younger and in high school. And he was a boxer. And he taught us how to box and fight and stuff. And so he was a very, you know, pleasant guy to be around unless you got him upset. You didn't want to make him mad. And when I ran back and told him that we're over there and there's some guy trying to take our motorcycle, boy, that's all he needed to hear, man. He turned into his raging bear. And all of a sudden, my dad's about my size. And in my eyes, he became twice as tall as he was, twice as big as he was. And he ran out of there and he was going to beat that dude to smithereens. And I felt sorry for the guy after he left. He was running over there. I knew what he was going to do. I said, "Oh, Lord." I wouldn't even say that. "Oh, Lord, help that man." Because he was there to protect his family. And he was always going to be there. No matter what it took, he was going to protect his family. That's what he did as a dad. And our Father will do the same thing. If we will do that, and the Bible tells us, you know, if your son or daughter or somebody comes in and asks you for bread, you're not going to give them a stone or a serpent or something dumb. You're going to give them what they're asking for. How much more will your Heavenly Father give you what you ask if you just ask him? And our Father, if we'll do that for our own family, protect our own family, how much more will God protect us? He will always protect us. Our Father is a giving Father. He gives us life and provision and protection. He'll also give us correction. I don't like correction. You don't like correction, but God will give us correction. Hebrews 12, 9 and 10 says, furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us. I know that's probably true of most of your lives, except for those that are still rebellious. You probably didn't have much correction in your life. But it says here that we gave them reverence to our family, to our earthly father, and those that corrected us on the earth, we give reverence to, because that means that we respect them because we know they're our parents, we're their children, and when they correct us, we know it's for the right reason. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. I mean, it's telling us here that if your earthly parents corrected you when you were wrong, and you respect them for that, why don't we respect God when he corrects us? We always turn our backs and say, oh, Lord, don't do that to me. He's saying, but you're wrong, and you won't get right, and you won't do right, and he's going to correct his own children. And then sometimes we don't have that respect for him when he does, and we should. And everybody has different correction and the way they were brought up in different ways. I told you the story, I think last week or so, about how my dad would just go crazy when he would spank us. And because we were all over the walls and the chandeliers and everything, and he couldn't find us. So he was just swinging everywhere trying to find our rear, and we wouldn't stay still. It's all my brother's fault. And then so then when I raised my lovely, wonderful, sweet, kind, considerate daughters that gave me a present today for Father's Day, when they were chasing, we had a couple ways of doing that, and I didn't want to be just like my dad where I was chasing around the house. So we came up with a rule, and you may like this, you may hate me after this for saying it, but I'm just telling you what we did. It all worked out. She's fine. She's halfway senile, but otherwise she's pretty much normal. But I didn't want to hurt anybody, and because we would get hit in the belt and the face and everything because we're moving too much. And he was not trying to hit us there, but we were moving too much. So I told them, I said, what I want you to do is if you'll follow my instructions, we'll make this quick and simple. But if you don't, it's going to last a lot longer than you want it to. And so I told them, I want you to bend over, grab your ankles, and when I spank you, if you let go of the ankles, you're getting another one. And I would spank them. And it would make everything nice and tight. And I wouldn't have to spank them that hard to get their attention. And everybody was happy with it, especially me. And but they learned from it. And they didn't run all over the place and go crazy trying to find it in your discipline. And that's what God tells us. Look, you know, when my discipline comes, it's because you're wrong. The Father's always right. We're wrong. We've done wrong. And he needs to chastise us because he can't get our attention. And he's not going to chase you all around. He knows where you live. He knows everything about you. He knows where to find you. He knows what to do in order to get your attention. But I'm so glad my God gives me chastisement and correction because I need it every day. I want to be more like my God. I want to be more like my dad. When my dad raised me and I saw his characteristics, I want to be like my dad. He gave me the characteristics I felt like were good and I wanted to follow. And maybe you had a dad like that too. Or you had the opposite and you said, well, I don't want to be nothing like that. I want to be the opposite of that. Whatever it is, God shows us an example to follow as parents and as believers that we need to be more like God in our life every day. And that means we need to receive correction when we need it. Now, God gave us life and protection and provision and correction, but he also gave us love. Praise God for that. There's many verses on it. 1 John 4, I'll read you that, verse 10 and verse 19. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. And verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. God loves us first. He wants to show that love to us. He gave us that love through his son, and he wants you to know you are loved. We may not feel it sometimes. We might feel like we're separated from everybody. We feel that we're discouraged and no one really is on our side and no one cares. And we might feel isolated and alone. But God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I loved you before you even loved me. And I'll always love you. He'll always be there for you. Have you ever heard that song? He loved me like I was his only child. I like hearing that song because it reminds me of all the believers in the world and all the children God has. When I want to talk to my God, he will hear and listen. He's there for me. It doesn't matter how many children he has, I can always come to my Father and he'll hear me. I like bragging on the Father because he's a giving Father. My Heavenly Father teaches us how to live as human fathers and sons, but we have a giving Father that's given so much to us that we need to be thankful for. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a few moments and ask God to help us this morning. There may be something God spoke to your heart about that you need to bring before him. And now is the best time to do that. That's why we have a time of invitation. I invite you to come to God, to just whatever may be on your heart. We have our altars open. You can come pray at any time. You can pray where you're at. We have people that listen online, listen later on sermon audio. They may be all over. We don't know where you're at and where your situation is, but we know this. God loves you. And he gave everything for you to have salvation. And if you have any doubt in your mind that you are saved today, you can call upon him and he'll save you right now. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He will save you because he loves you and he wants you to be part of his family. And for those who are part of his family, you're a child of God, maybe God is speaking to your heart about something that you just need to fix and change in your life. Maybe there's some characteristic in our own life that we need to correct and make right, that we can be more like our Father in heaven with our family here on earth. Whatever God's laid on your heart, let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we have here today. We do ask and bless that you'll be in the midst of our invitation time. People may get their hearts right, make the right decisions. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever the need is, let God have his way.